Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
What you decide where you live isn't like something that affects me. I'm like, you can move wherever the hell you want. I really, you know, no big deal there. But for Z, it you moving makes a difference, right? And so you're probably going to have a conversation with me about, does this make sense? How do I broach this with her? Like, you know, pros and cons, those types of things. And then you're going to go to her and say, now I want to have this conversation because you've thought through it a little bit.
What up, what up, what up, what up? It's Three Brothers No Sense, your favorite barbershop style podcast. I'm Tavares Ferguson, a.k.a. Ferg. Join my co-hosts, Buff and Rozzy. Fellas, take it away.
I just want to say, screw the people that have Ravens tickets and tried to sell them for 4 and 5 times worth the face value. Don't really like you people at all. I hope you were not able to sell your tickets and that you're stuck with them and have to go to the game.
They sold them.
It's still some like on SeatGeek now. Like the nosebleeds are going for like $1,300. It's crazy, dog. But I get it. First championship game in Baltimore for the Ravens and first time in Baltimore at all since the 70s. So I guess I get it. Anyway, now that I got that off my chest, only thing I have, man, is I think people really should check out Rustin on Netflix. It's a story that isn't told that much. It's definitely overshadowed by the fact that it has a lot to do with Martin Luther King. But I think he pronounced his first name Byard, even though it looks like it says Bayard. But Byard Rustin, he was very instrumental in getting the March on Washington done and bringing everybody together. And he knew that if he could get Martin Luther King to speak at it, that it would bring a lot of people together. But it tells his story and what he went through. And I think one of the reasons it doesn't get told as much is because he was gay, because of his sexuality. And, you know, a lot of people in our community still like to distance themselves from people like that. But it's a very important story. It needs to be told as much as Rosa Parks, Martin Luther King, Mega Evers. Very instrumental in the civil rights movement. So check it out. It's on Netflix. Not a long movie. I think it's like a little less than an hour and a half. A couple of bad wigs in it. Let me just put that out there. Like Chris Rock has on a wig. And don't worry. Chris Rock is not acting silly and stuff in it. And he has a limited role anyway. But it's a good movie, good acting. And I think everybody should check it out. That's all I got, man.
Any black people in dresses?
No black people in dresses.
It's funny that you brought up the Ravens and then MLK because your homeboy that went viral.
Yeah, I saw that. That was funny.
Oh, man.
They showed, I don't think this went as viral, but they showed a woman on local news up here that a lot of people in the break room at work was like, is that Maya Angelou? It's like, first Martin Luther King, now Maya Angelou.
Hey, man.
Coming out to support the Ravens.
It's a sign, baby. It's a the sign. Blue Knox is real.
They called it.
Yeah, man. Oh, man.
That's all you got, man?
Yeah, that's it.
Cool. A couple things for me. They're remaking Roadhouse. That is one of my favorite movies ever with Jake Gyllenhaal this time. The director is actually suing the company that's dropping it because he directed it as a theatrical release, thinking it was going to go to the movies. And they're not. They're just going to put it on streaming service. I don't even know which streaming service they're going to use for it. But the director's pissed about that. But it does look pretty good. Roadhouse is an awesome movie. So I'm going to check it out. I'm kind of excited about that. But speaking of Netflix and streaming, Griselda, Sofia Vergara, like, killed it in Griselda. So if you guys have not seen that, I binged the entire, I think it's a 5 or 6 episode miniseries, 6 episodes. I binged it last night. So it was like literally just sitting there watching episode by episode. It stops at the trial or the start of the trial or you know, when she actually got arrested. And it's crazy. I was like, I want more. I want more. So it's I think Sofia Vergara is going to get all kind of awards. I think this is going to win like one of those like Emmys for limited series and stuff like that. It's awesome. So if you're into gangster type stuff and those types of like stories, go watch it. It's dope.
It definitely could have been more episodes or an additional season. Like, is there so much more to tell to the Griselda story? And this series does have some inaccuracies that I immediately saw. But like you said, it's a great series. I also love how Hollywood, like every time they do a movie on Griselda, they try to make her like this sexy petite woman. She was kind of like grandma-ish, kind of frumpy, chubby like. So, but that's cool. But it is a good series, man. We watched it like in one sitting, damn near ourselves. So
yeah, and the makeup on it, like they really changed what Sofia looks like. To she looked a lot like Griselda in the show, like the nose, the prosthetics, everything. Like we were talking about that, like, man, she looks very different than what she looks like on a normal basis. So shout out to the makeup artist for that, man.
So for the listeners who might not know who Griselda Blanco is, you might want to tell them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, you want to tell them? You probably know a little bit more about it, Buff.
First and foremost, just watch Cocaine Cowboys 1 and 2 and Reloaded if you want to. But basically, she's the only person that Pablo Escobar said he would fear. But all the violence that occurred in the late 70s and early 80s in Miami, really, most of it is attributed to her. She was ruthless. She didn't mind killing kids, innocent bystanders, whatever it took to take out her target. If you just happen to be sitting at that table, oh well. But she ran a lot of the cocaine in South Florida, like I think up to 80% of it at one time in cocaine. It just really terrorized that city in the early 80s. She was a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah.
And she was a Colombian drug lord. Yeah, so,
Colombia and like one of the only,
you gotta figure out where she was coming from too.
Yeah, like female narcos, yeah, like in that time period was like unheard of. And so a lot of times they talk about she had to be that ruthless to kind of keep it, but it's still, man, it's like crazy how much she had to go through and what she had to do to hold on to that power and what she was willing to do to hold on to that power.
Yeah. And not to give it away, but her demise is, it really plays out to how she handled her business, and you look at how her ending takes place, it makes sense.
Yep.
Damn it.
Yep, exactly. So and I love the nods to like Scarface and everything, like when she was sitting in the chair, and like you could see that scene of Scarface when he was sitting in the chair with the big mound of cocaine. It was like perfect. So like great shout out to the director. It was just a good series, man. I was super excited for it. But talking about actors and those types of things, Mary J. Blige is finally dropping a boot line. So the ladies out there, I love to give y'all a little bit of taste, but it's maybe 10, 15 years too late. I think whoever her marketing team and her, like management, they should have done this a long time ago, but I still think, the aunties out there are going to love it and they're going to go get some Mary J. Blige boots. Cause she be rocking them and you know, it's going to be cool. So I think that's going to be good for everybody to see. And I wish her all the luck with her new clothing line.
This definitely should have been announced like right before a big tour of her.
Right.
Yeah. Or something. So I'll follow you guys. We both kind of hit on period pieces, which I realized recently that I'm a fan of period pieces. Like I like certain things. I know a lot of you guys don't like anything that has to do with like slavery, reconstruction, stuff like that. But another good series that was on Paramount, Lawman, Bass Reeves.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys check that out. Really good. Unfortunately, won't be back for season two. Bass Reeves was like the first black deputy marshal this side of the Mason-Dixon. Had one of the greatest records of capturing his criminals. I think he's rumored to have brought in over 3,000 criminals, killed 14 plus men, never was injured, shot or anything like that, even though he's had a lot of run-ins, but it was a great series. He was played by David I can never pronounce his name.
Yeah, I can't pronounce it, so that's why I like David. Try.
Yeah. Yeah. Him. He played the dude that played Martin Luther King in Selma and stuff like that. Great actors. Funny how so many of these non-American actors are playing famous American roles. But great show. They're coming out with a season two, but I think the series is going to be based off of just period pieces of important lawmen throughout history. Great series. I was going to say, so for anybody that doesn't know who Bass Reeves is, if you watch Watchmen, they made reference to him. He was the black hooded lawman at the beginning in the Tulsa scenes and stuff like that. He was supposed to be the great grandfather of her grandfather, the dude that played.
Oh, the hangman.
So, yeah. So all that stuff was linked to it. So you hear his name mentioned. He's also rumored to be. Everybody knows who the Lone Ranger is. So he was supposed to be the closest thing. He was inspiration for Lone Ranger, a lot of people say. Mm-hmm. You know, he was by himself, had the quote unquote Indian Native American sidekick partner, stuff like that. So really good series. If you want to watch another period piece, we mentioned three great things to watch. I'm going to tell you something not to watch. If you haven't watched it, is Aquaman 2. it was horrible from the script, character arcs, CGI. It just seemed like a cartoon.
Yeah.
I was so pissed off by Ocean Master by the end of the movie, the way they portrayed him. He became a real lame. It was even the way the movie ended seemed like the same person that wrote Superman versus Batman or Batman versus Superman. The way the movie ended and how they, you know, brotherly love type things, like, this is just horrible writing. So if you get a chance, don't check that out.
Yeah, yeah. What they should have been checking out was The Color Purple or The Book of Clarence, because both of them haven't hit their numbers. I think Color Purple has been pulled from most theaters at this point, and they didn't even make their budget back, unfortunately. So, Black America, y'all let us down by not supporting Color Purple.
I'm sorry. I'll speak on behalf of Black America. I was excited, but I feel like it's one of those movies you have to be in the mood for, and it takes a lot for me just to be in a mood for a musical. Mm-hmm. And I think they missed the mark with making it a musical and almost forcing the black hand, right? It's like, well, if you support black movies, go see this. It's like, yeah, but I really don't want to watch a musical.
Right.
And it's almost like that supporting black business. I might not get what I want, but because you're black, I have to support. And so I was torn. And maybe if I would have, and I knew it was a musical, but maybe if I would have watched it the day it came out, the release date, versus seeing all the reviews, even though people that knew it was a musical, just like, yeah, it was just too musically for me. You know, so my bad.
It was a movie a lot of people didn't want remade.
Yeah.
That is also
a lot of people.
I was excited about the remake until I found out it was a musical, and I kept trying to hype myself up. And I feel like some of the reviews where they didn't capture the true spirit, that grit, that grime, because the person who probably won out of this was Alice Walker. I think people downloaded or reread The Color Purple more in the last couple of months. And if you reread it or you download and listen to the audiobook, especially as an adult, there was a certain energy that book gave off. That as an adult, you wanted to appreciate that, for me, that struggle, that turmoil, that growth. And from what I heard in the, you don't get that. The movie was a little too upbeat, and it was almost in a complete contrast from the reviews I heard to the actual book. So,
yeah, yeah. But I am excited about The Book of Clarence and American Fiction. I think both of those are going to be really, really good. About American Fiction. Yeah. So American Fiction dropped this weekend. Yeah. So make sure you go check that out if you haven't. I'm gonna go Tuesday actually, and try to check it out on the $5 day because I'm cheap as I don't know what. So we still have $5 Tuesdays at our theater. So I'm gonna check it out then. But with that, man, that's all I have. Ferg, do you have anything else? I'm sorry. I just kind of gave mine.
But Buff, I wanted to get your thoughts on and Rizzi as well, the three U.S. troops that were killed in Jordan. Have you seen that with
So there was
a drone attack in Jordan. Biden believes is led by Iranian backed terrorist cells, I guess. And three U.S. troops were killed, over two dozen. I think the count last I read was maybe 30 others wounded. And basically Biden's like, yeah, whoever did this, they're going to pay. And I just don't know if there's going to be any recourse, or is that going to push our hand when it comes to.
We've been itching to go to war with Iran for a long time now. So I don't know if this is going to be what pushes it, but we'll see. I mean, he may order a few strikes or whatnot. What you think, Roger?
Yeah, same. I don't think that they'll find any way to find somebody else to hit versus hitting Iran directly. We don't want to go to we've been itching to go to war, but we don't want to go to war with Iran. And Biden's not a warmonger in general, so he doesn't want that stink of he's the one that started the war. Even though most times if you're in a wartime commander in chief, you get reelected. So might not be a bad thing to start a war, Joe Biden, if that keeps us away from Trump. But no, I'm just playing. But you know,
is a war with Iran better than Trump as president? Might end up with a war with Iran.
True. So
because you remember when Trump first got elected, we were so worried that we were gonna go to war with Russia.
Mm-hmm. And then North Korea. Yep.
Yeah, was it North Korea or was it Russia? It was North Korea, I think.
Yeah.
Both?
Well, I will say he did a lot to avoid war, for all the bad you can say about him. He definitely is not a fan of war, so it seems, at least.
Yeah, he talks and he blusters, but I felt he was going to cause them to attack us more than him.
That's like, what I was saying.
Yeah, like him doing something to cause the start of a war, not him starting a war. But I think Joe will find a way. We'll, like Buff said, we'll strike a couple places, and it'll die down. I think it's unfortunately we lost those special forces folks, but truthfully, that's kind of part of the job. That's what happens. And I hate to say it, from a military perspective, we've gotten so averse to losing soldiers that it almost ties your hand in what you can do when you're losing war, or when you're trying to wage war, and when you're trying to show a force, right? Like we want to spend so much money to not lose soldiers. We forget the days of D-Day and everything, where we lost 20,000 troops. I don't want to get back to that day where we throw bodies at problems. But at the same time, I think this is one of those things that when you sign up for the military, and especially when you sign up for military or special operations and things like that, those are those things that you're ready to face. I love that our soldiers are willing to lay down their life for our country, and we never want them to have to. But at the same time, it's like, we don't have to go to war every time we lose somebody. And I want to say that to everybody, especially the warmongers out there, right? The war hawks and the right, where they always thinking, oh, it's time to go to war because somebody attacked us and we lost a soldier, Benghazi or something like that. It's like every time we lose a soldier isn't something where we got to go to a full-blown war and put thousands and thousands of additional bodies in harm's way because of that situation. And so I really want to temper folks when they talk about, should we go to war because we lost three guys? It's not that.
Would the difference be when you're in war with somebody, then the expectation is you may lose some soldiers, versus we're not at war with Iran right now. And so for them to kill three of ours, does that make it a little different where you feel like you do have to retaliate.
Go ahead, Ferg. You about to say something?
No, I'll let you answer, but I think, and I see where Byron's going, because I was kind of feeling the same thing, and I think you clarified it a little more at the end, because you talk about it's collateral damage, acceptable losses. It's what it is in the military, mm-hmm. right? And it's almost like, yeah, people are going to die, but like what Byron's alluding to, but we're not at war, why are people dying?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's kind of why that shouldn't be, we shouldn't be cool with that. I think what you clarified was, hey, it's not okay, but it's the fact that let's not let three turn to 30,000.
Right.
Like three shouldn't be the catalyst for 30,000.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry for your loss. We'll do everything we can. We have to find a strategic way to retaliate, but this isn't Pearl Harbor where we got to go to war because we, you know, and that's, I mean, because when you said it's like, yeah, you join the military, you expect to die. It's like, yeah, but, you know, not when I'm just chilling in Hawaii and relaxing, you know, but it's during wartime and we're not involved in a war, then that's a little different. But it's, hey, unfortunately, the way the world works, we're going to lose some people.
Yeah.
You know, never excusable, but there has to be a line of saying, hey, this was an unfortunate circumstance. And we can't risk tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of lives because of this.
Right.
You said itching to go.
It's a big deal. But what I look at is Iran, it was an Iranian backed terror cell. So we have to be careful about it. It's not Iran carried out an attack on us. It's not Iran said, hey, I'm going to pay you guys to go attack the U.S. in this spot. It's like they're fighting for that area. They're terrorists in that area. And yes, Americans got killed based on that, right? It's no different than when the CIA and we support terrorists in other nations, right? We do the exact same thing. And somebody from Russia or somebody from Iran dies in that attack. Because we supported the guerrillas or we supported, you know, the insurgency. We do the exact same thing here. And so that's why I want to take it in context and make sure that we're not overreacting to what happens.
And let me clarify, they never call them a terrorist cell. They are Iranian backed militant group,
mm-hmm.
because we like to put labels on people and terrorists, you know, there's no good terrorists, right?
Yeah. Well, that changes how you have to react. So in international case law and courts, if we label them as a terrorist, we don't have to give them Geneva Conventions. If we say they're a militant group, we acknowledge that they're a military and we have to treat them as Geneva Convention under the Geneva Convention. So that's the difference there. So if we call them a militant group, then they get a little bit of protections from the International Criminal Court, civil and that type of thing. So that's a little bit of the difference there.
Yeah. But I was just saying more so the way we label people. Mm-hmm. Like if you look at like American Revolution, you know, if you look at the Boston Tea Party, they can be described as terrorists, right? But we call them patriots. You know, it's, hey, these guys want to attack our ships, yada, yada, yada. We were doing our job, all this stuff. So it's very easy to label people based off of what you want your propaganda to look like. So I don't want to mislabel any particular group. I am not taking up for this Iranian-backed militant group by any means. I just want to make sure I correct myself and not go out on a limb and label them or mislabel them without enough information.
Yeah.
All righty. Let's go ahead and jump into it, fellas.
Cool. I got a joke. Y'all want to hear a joke?
A good one.
Oh, I don't know if it's a good one or not, but so y'all know the sound that pigs make in France, they say okay, and in Japan they say unku. But do y'all know what they pigs say in America? No. Stop resisting! Stop Please. Resisting!
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches, but there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem. Of a detour.
it was a decent joke, but your it wasn't that it was funny. You
it
were
also
funny.
Needs to be visual because people couldn't. The listeners can't see what you were doing when you said it.
Yeah, your energy, your acting was funnier than the joke. But it was a good one. Good.
But you guys could figure out what he was doing if he was saying.
Yeah.
Who wants to go first? I have one I want to get off our chest. It was a conversation, but I think Brazi. Did you have one that you wanted to start us off with?
Yeah, we can jump off with it. I mean, and continue the conversation. So right before we got on camera, we were just having a conversation about attractiveness and you know, does that stop people from cheating or Ferg, you had some kind of opinions on it, and then Buff, you kind of said, wait, I don't know if that stops a person or whatever. So I want to ask you, brothers. Does attractiveness and being attractive kind of stop a person from cheating in a relationship?
Well, Ferg had like more nuance to it. He kind of broadened the discussion that we were having. But the simple answer is no. I mean, we've seen this time and time again. Halle Berry got cheated on. Beyonce got cheated on. Probably two of the most recognizable and, by many people's account, attractive women that are out there. I think, who was that? Angelina Jolie. I think people find her attractive. I believe Brad Pitt cheated on her.
Nia Long, right?
Nia Long. And so attractiveness definitely does not keep your significant other from stepping out on their relationship. You got to have more than looks.
Yeah. Well, Byron is absolutely right. I agree with that. There's nothing that's going to stop anybody from cheating that wants to cheat. That's the crux of the matter. I think there are things that can help potentially decrease those things if you truly want to try to be faithful, right? Like, you have to want to be faithful. Let's call it what it is. You know, I know people who just like, they have no desire to be faithful, never cross their mind. You know, it is what it is. You know, I'm going to trick out a little bit here, trick out a little bit there, and it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think what it comes down to is there's certain things that might make it a little easier to try to remain faithful. You know, I'll speak personally. To me, my wife is gorgeous. My wife is beautiful. She's everything I want in a woman, mentally, emotionally, physically, right? But if she wasn't the beauty that she is, would I look at her a little different when I'm thinking about, or not thinking about, when the opportunities or something like that presents itself? I'm attracted to my wife. I'm super sexually attracted to my wife. Like, let's call it what it is. I know guys who do not want to have sex with their wives,
mm-hmm.
because this to them, they're not physically attracted. And the same goes for women. You know, men let themselves go. They get comfortable, whatever the case may be. And so there's no attraction. You know, back in the day, Rods used to try to beat her back out, and there was a sexual chemistry and all that stuff. He doesn't do that anymore. So the sex life for her isn't that attractive. Your wife, you know, you've been together for 15, 20 years. Of course, she's not going to be the same person she was 20 years ago. You know, we all age. Time is undefeated. But when you look at that person and you don't see any attractiveness, that's tough. Like, I cannot imagine not wanting to have sex with my wife.
Yeah.
That's just unimaginable for me. But what we have to realize is that is the truth for some people. That's the truth probably for more people than not. And there's people who will have sex with their spouse or significant other, not because they're attracted to them, because out of
obligation,
responsibility.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say obligation,
responsibility, necessity, or just, you know, she's there and I want to get my rocks off, so I'm going to have sex, right? Or he's there, I want to have sex. So that's the only reason. And to be honest, you know, and I'm not saying I'm the most attractive person in the world or vice versa, you know, it's not, but I think there's a part of you where when you look at somebody, because I think, you know, I forgot, I don't know if we talked about it here, shared a video where it was, they were talking about, let's say Idris Elba came on. There's a woman who rarely had sex with her husband, right? Rarely has sex with her husband, doesn't really find him attractive. But when she sees Idris Elba, the juices start flowing. Oh, the things I'll do to that man. Because there is an attraction, there's a sexual chemistry, at least on her part, or fantasy, that she still, this person who's not sexual anymore, becomes sexual because of that. And I'm not saying that it's not the same as you won't have sex or keeps you faithful, but I think there's something there. Like, I like coming home to my wife at night.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not seeing a chick in a club where I'm looking at all these young, attractive people or people, attractive people, because there's going to be attractive people out there. Then I got to go home like, man, whew, all right, let me go ahead and, you know, turn the lights off and do the old paper bag. That's real for some people. Yeah, it's once again, it's, I know I'm gonna get pushed back and it means more and yada, 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 and it shouldn't mean all that. It is what it is. Me and my wife had this conversation. We've been together 14 and a half, almost 15 years. We had this conversation years ago. The importance of still trying to remain attractive, remain, you know, keep that sexual energy for each other. You know, it doesn't stop you from cheating, but it definitely, like, all things play a part, you know, for somebody who wants to be faithful.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think attractiveness will stop you from cheating. I think it will make it easier not to cheat, though. So there's, you know, one of those things where maybe there's like a minimum bar of like, I'm attracted and these other chicks, even though I'm more attracted to them or whatever, I'm like, I am still attracted to my spouse. So I'm not going out there trying to cheat or I'm not going to go for that other girl unless I really want to cheat, right? But if, to your point, Ferg, if you're not attracted to your spouse, and so maybe that's it. It's like, once you hit the I'm no longer attracted to my significant other, at that point, I do think it's much, much easier to go out and cheat. It doesn't cause the person to cheat, but if the situations arise and you're not attracted to your significant other and you're super attracted to this person, you're probably going to go for it. You might go for it if you're not attracted to the other person. So I do think there's like a minimum level of attraction you have to be in any relationship, because let's be honest, if you aren't attracted to that other person, it's very difficult to stay in a relationship with that person. I mean, that's just me personally. So I am with you on that, Ferg. I think it makes it much, much harder. But if you're like, no, you can not be attracted to somebody, not be sexually attracted to somebody, and stay in a relationship with them.
You guys are making me laugh. No, listen, most of the time when people cheat, it has nothing to do with looks. It's usually convenience. That's first and foremost. And then you guys are talking about two different types of people. You're talking about the people that just want to cheat and the people that don't really want to cheat, but because their significant other they're not attracted to them, then that's going to make them more likely to cheat. The person that want to cheat, let's get them out the way. Yeah. It don't matter if they're attracted or not attracted to their spouse. Most of the time, they're probably smashing people that look worse than their spouse. But it's convenience. It's something new. It's something different. She's probably saying things to him that's boosting his ego more than his wife or whatever the case may be. So let's get that out the way. So it has nothing to do with whether or not he's attracted to his significant other or not. The other person that doesn't want to cheat, is if they do cheat, it's not going to have anything to do with how attractive their significant other is. They're doing it because something else is missing at home. They're having problems. They're always arguing, things like that. They don't really want to. And then this other person comes along and circumstances happen. It has nothing to do. In Ferg's own answer, he said, looks fade over time. So if you're telling me looks fade over time, but you still have this person that, like, it's not the looks, guys. It's not the looks whatsoever. A lot of women are married to men. We talk about women's bodies changing over time. Men's bodies really change over time.
I brought that up. Mm-hmm. I brought that up.
Okay, but let me finish the point. Like, a lot of times they're married to guys that if that same guy that looked like them tried to holler at them, they wouldn't get them the time of day. But they've been married to this person for over this time. They've developed, you know, things that go beyond looks and things like that to where they are attracted to something that you can't even point to, that you can't even reach and grab. That's what they're attracted to. So I think it has so little to do with whether or not somebody cheats that it's not even worth it.
Okay. That's a great take. I still disagree. And to the point where I'm not going to say I disagree. What I'm saying is everything you mentioned, I think you add looks on that. It could be there's a problem at home. She doesn't like the list. There's a list of reasons why people might cheat. Not being attracted to your spouse, add that to the list. I'm not saying it's the only reason. I'm just saying she doesn't listen, he doesn't listen. He rejects her. Any of those reasons and not being attracted or not having sex or not, you know, there's no sexual chemistry. These are all reasons people still go out and cheat. I'm not saying it's the only reason. I'm just saying if you don't acknowledge that as one of the potential reasons as well, because there's people who have great partnerships, but when it comes to the sexual chemistry or whatever in their relationship is no longer there. And part of it is like, I don't see my wife as like this person I used to date. I don't see my husband as this person. We make a great team, and they might be great on this level, but they still step out because that chemistry is not there on that. And it's fine. They're fine with that. She knows he's doing his thing. He knows she's doing her thing. It might be that person that still makes them feel attractive. You know, it's not the reason. I'm saying it's one of the many reasons that you can sit there and like, okay, you know.
So I think we're talking about the Greeks. So there's one thing to not be attracted to your significant other at all versus your significant other isn't as attractive as they used to be. So, like, if you marry your wife,
they're not as attractive as those other people that are out there, right? Like you know, I'm attracted to them.
There's always somebody that's better looking than your significant other. Point blank, period. But there's a difference in marrying your woman or marrying your guy, and your woman is a size 6, and then 10 years later, she's on 600-pound life. Like, that's a huge difference versus she put on a little weight, you know, she don't keep her hair up the same, but, you know, there's still, like, when she fixes herself up, she's still attracted. Like, if you're not attracted at all whatsoever, then yes, I agree more with you, Ferg. But I think when I came into the conversation before we started recording and we were talking about attractiveness, it was more or less, are you saying that if your significant other is less attractive or whatever like that?
No.
You know what I mean? So,
yeah, no. Automatically.
So
yeah,
in this example, what I'm saying is, let's say you love this person. They're not on 600-pound life, but, you know, we say they're one cupcake away, right? And you already noticed that, but you're kind of cool with that. But in the back of your mind, they're one cupcake away. And they always remain one cupcake away until they're not one cupcake away. And now they're just, you're like, eh, you know, she's just a little too big or he's a little too, you know, all those things. And in this scenario, it was one of those things where it's already kind of a problem in your mind that you're not, there's a certain level of disconnect with that attraction. It's always going to be there. And 9 times out of 10, it's only going to get worse, right? If I already, like, you know, you're a little bigger than I usually date, but I love you, you're great. Over time, you're a little bigger turns into you're bigger than I usually like. And now it's just like, I don't, and I'm not saying anything about, you know, I'm not, you know, trying to body shame or anything, like, whatever it was, is take looks out of it. I'm a firm believer. If there's something that's a problem in the early stages of a relationship, that you don't like and it's a big problem and you continue down that path, 9 times out of 10, it's still going to be a problem. You know, it's, she has a bad attitude, but you know, you love her, 10 years from now, that bad attitude breaks you and you can't deal with it anymore. You know, he drinks too much. 10 years from now, he's an alcoholic and it breaks you. These are certain things that I'm saying that once it's a trigger or something's a red flag, those red flags for you, whether they're vain, reasonable, whatever, usually don't go away. And so
go ahead. I was going to say, and you have to make that choice.
That wasn't
my point, right?
That it was attractiveness.
Yeah.
Yeah. If this is a problem, it's probably going to, if you're not like attracted to her like this for real, you're probably not going to be more attractive 10 years from now. And it's probably just going to get worse.
It's such a small factor. It's like the flavor in an aha of sparkling water. Like it's that much that contributes to it. Now, other things like some of the stuff you were talking about for the argument and things like that, that I think can make you significantly more unattractive, not even the physical, but your behavior and how you're carrying things throughout the marriage. That can make you less attractive to your significant other than your looks that'll make you step out of cheat. I would put more percentage on that than physical appearance.
Well, I'm fine with that. I'm just saying it's still a factor. And there's people, I personally know people out there that like, they, when they look at their wives, it's just like, it almost, or husbands, they, it's just like, it almost turns them like, it's like, it's, and that's real.
Yeah.
You have a beautiful wife. So it's hard for you to imagine that for yourself or, you know, like, but I say that, like, it's part of the reason it's still easy to love my wife. And it sounds, it's like, she's beautiful. You know, I look at it and I just look like, oh, she's gorgeous. It just makes it a little easier to accept certain things.
It makes you want to plan the date days.
Yeah, it's, you know, so, when you're sitting there like
you planned a date for her big ass.
Yeah, like y'all have heard me say, like, y'all be like, hey, why didn't you date this chick, Rizzy? And I'm like, I would end up cheating on her. Like, and it literally is just 100% like the attraction level. Like, I know that I'm not really attracted to her, I would end up cheating on her because I'm not attracted to her like that. Like, and so I do
chick all the stuff.
Yeah, great chick.
But that kind of nukes your argument because that's saying that you wouldn't marry her in the first place.
Well, that's me because I'm like emotionally like intelligent enough to know that, right? And not go down that route. I know guys that would date her knowing that they probably would cheat on her because of her attractiveness. Like, I know guys like that. Like, for example, I know guys that are in relationships right now or married right now, and their lady, they're not really attracted to her, but they love her, and all the other stuff is right. But when we go on the guys trip, when we out with the bros, when we all at the clave, they tricking out and they're going to go and they're going to smash the chick because she's bad or whatever. And then they're going to go home and think and act like everything's cool. And it 100%, like, she's a great chick on paper, everything else except for the attractiveness level, like, or the sexual pleasing or whatever. Like, I know guys like that.
And it happens all the time. Not like you said, Byron, it's not just looks. It's any of those situations. But I would say people get in those might as well marriages. Like, you see a lot of the red flags there, but there's so many other good things that this person brings to the table, both male and female, that we overlook it. And there's times where the thing that ends the marriage, ends the relationship, is that you were pointing out 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like, her insecurity, his personality, where he's too controlling, you know, like, those are still things that, whatever it is, you know, she was cute, she was cool, she was a little bigger than I thought, you know, but I loved her. And then it's just like, you know, you have a couple of kids or whatever, you still love her, you know. He was already on the verge of being fat, that nigga's fat now, you know. It is the same thing. So
yeah, Ferg has a good point, though. Attractive people can get away with more than
that is life, though.
They can't.
That is life. And the thing about it is, we don't like talking about those truths. It happens in marriages and stuff like that. In relationships, there's chicks out here who get that have no common sense, nothing, but they are a 9 or 10 on paper. People are paying for their rent, their mortgage, their BBL. They're paying for everything because the chick's attractive. You know, tall dudes get the chicks. Byron, like, everybody thinks Byron is good. Like, Byron's life is, you know, it is what it is.
Byron, sure.
Don't, yeah, no, yeah. I don't, no, let's not, we'll edit that out. So I want to run my question next, because it kind of, we're talking about relationships and marriage and being truthful, all this stuff. So I was on a, I had a conversation with a friend of mine, and it was saying that his wife is getting a little upset because he has a female best friend. And so it's not about having a female best friend. It's about, you know, that talk track where, you know, my spouse is my best friend. Do you believe that your spouse can be or should be your best friend? And why or why not?
She can be one of your best friends. And she probably can even be the number one best friend, but I still think, and we kind of touched on this on other questions in the past on this show, I still think for men, you need like that guy best friend as well for things that you can talk to them about that you may be uncomfortable sharing with your wife, or she may not understand it from a male's perspective or point of view. But I think your wife should be at least one of your good friends. I mean, she should be up there. But I don't know if she necessarily needs to be the best friend, but she needs to be like, I don't know, top five.
Can she be?
Yeah, she can. She can be your best friend. But I still think you need that additional.
I'm gonna come back to it.
Yeah.
Okay. Riza, what say ye?
I say yeah. I think she definitely can be your best friend. Yes, to which part?
Okay.
And I realistically, I think she probably should be your best friend. If you think about it, you pillow talking with your wife, like that's why they can't force your wife to testify against you, right? Like. The assumption is you're telling your wife all the little deets and everything like that, right? Like she should be your person that you walk in and like, let me tell you about the minutest detail of what happened today. Like like your best friend, especially like even your guy best friend, 9 times out of 10, you're not telling them about the day you had today and the random thing that annoyed you today, right? Like usually your guy best friend or your general best friend is the big stuff, right? Like, hey, I'm having this issue. I want to run this by you. Let me tell you about this, yada, yada, yada. But you're not calling, especially for guys. I don't know about for ladies, but you're probably not calling your guy best friend to tell him about how John tried you in the office today this one time. It ain't a super big deal, but it annoyed the shit out of you type thing. Like, that usually isn't what you're calling your best friend about. But your spouse, you probably are going to tell that, right? You're going to pillow talk about it. You're going to be like, oh, you're going to walk in a little huffy and they're going to notice it because again, they probably are the most attuned to you. And so they're going to pick up on it, right? They see you every day. Your best friend probably doesn't. They know the little things that's happening with you. They know everything that you're doing, right? They know your schedule better than anybody else. They know what's happening, what's moving, everything like that. I do feel like your spouse takes that place of being your best friend to another level, right? Like, and maybe that's where you're kind of alluding to, Ferg, is that it's a different relationship. So they're your spouse, right? They're not your best friend. They're your spouse. And the level of intimacy, sharing, and all this stuff is higher, a higher expectation than what you would consider even your best friend. And so maybe that I could see where you're having that higher expectation than just friendship. But in the general sense of it, I would say that is that best friend that you really want to be able to feel.
Okay. I like where both of you guys went with that. I think your spouse should be one of your closest friends. It's hard to be married with somebody that you can't befriend. But there's like almost what you were saying, Rizzy, there's a difference. the reason I'm gonna start backwards from my original argument. Z isn't my best friend. Z is my person. She's my GOAT, right? Mm-hmm. She's my MJ, right? So MJ, for most people, arguably is the GOAT. He doesn't have to be your favorite player. She is my person. I talk to her more. I share more with her. But the difference in my relationship with you and my relationship with Z is the things I can talk to you about. Part of it is I can be probably a little more honest about things that bother me because I'm not worried about her emotions, right? Mm-hmm. There's a level of transparency that I can have with you. And Z gives me, and I'm not saying she doesn't give me a lot of safe space, but, you know, and just to make it a little lighter, if we're going out and you're like, bro, you like this shirt to make me look fat? Yeah, bro, that should make you look fat. That shirt's horrible. I can say that. You're like, bro, you'll keep on trucking, right? I don't have to worry about the truths that I'm telling you, right? Versus, hey, we're about to go out. How do you like this shirt or this dress? Does it make me look fat? Yes, it's probably not an option, right? It's nah, baby, you look good in that and you just let it go. Or you're like, nah, you know, you gotta cater it to, like, you know, what happened to that dress you wore the other day you're not worried about the ramifications of those things. If I'm telling you I'm going through this and I'm going through that, I don't have to sugarcoat it or, you know, kind of, you know, position it that it doesn't affect you or whatever those cases be. But still there's things that I'll tell her that I'll never tell anybody else just because of that closeness, that, you know, that intimacy that we share and talk about. Like, Z knows me better than I probably know myself. But, you know, so she's my MJ. She is my GOAT. But there's still things that, because of that, there's a level of freedom that I have with my friends outside of her that change that dynamics. So she would never be considered my best friend. She will always be my person. She's my go-to. She is, and I'm not saying that as a knock on her. It's just a different level. It's just a different relationship. And I don't want to get in semantics and, you know, like, well, that's just a different type of best friend. But, you know, I think it's with a friendship, I've never really worried about pissing you off. We've been known each other over, you know, almost 30 years, right? I never worried about pissing you off. You know, I might not have a conversation because you're not ready for it, you know, but it's not like, I'm not saying this to Razi because it's going to piss him off and now we're going to fight and never be close again. You know, that's not a best friend. You know, you've told me some hard truths. I've had hard conversations with you, vice versa. That's a different friendship. Byron, I feel like you approached the mic, so you got some stuff on your chest.
No. I mean, this is like a different type of disagreement. This is just one of those. I like the last question. It's just like, I just see it a little different. I think, first off, she and I can have those hard truths. If she asks me if something makes her look fat, I'll tell her yes, if I think it makes her look fat. And she wants that from me because her thing is, don't have me going out here looking stupid. So I don't have to sugarcoat it. Same with me. Even though I never ask, like, I'm either gonna wear it or not. If I look fat, I look fat. So be it. Everybody else fat too, damn it. But yeah, I think the fact of how vulnerable that you can be around your wife and the things that you guys share, and I also consider her a friend because of the fun that it's not always lovey-dovey, you're my wife, I'm your husband. Like, we can actually be silly and have fun, just like I can be silly and have fun with Wendell or whatever. Only thing she doesn't like is, you know, the janking. She's not a janker. So that's the only that's the only thing I can't do with her. But pretty much everything else, I do look at her as a friend. And you say, I guess you just don't like that term and you call her like your person, which I'm fine with. So I can't even say I really disagree. I guess I just look at it differently.
Yeah, and when I was Z, we talk about everything because both of us like fashion. So when we're getting ready to go out, it, you know, we're trading outfits. No, don't put that on, yada, yada. I'm just saying in general, because I don't want you to think that's her. But I think for a lot of people, like they don't have those freedoms in their relationship.
Yeah,
it's they can't. And I mean, there's a reason there's a lot of dialogue where men are talking about safe spaces, right? Like, yeah. Let's call it what it is. Let's not just, and vice versa for women, you know, like they can't tell their husband certain things. They can't, he doesn't listen to the things that they're saying. You know, they love him, he loves them, but they go talk to their homegirl. They go talk to their homeboy, especially about things that involve them.
Yeah.
So, like, but if me and Rosie had a falling out, I feel like I can be...
Oh, I was going to say just that what you were saying. I think if me and you had a falling out, you're probably going to go talk to Z about it, right? Like you probably to be like, am I tripping? Let me talk through this. Like, so like the examples you were given about, you know, you not want to have that conversation with them because you have to think about their, like how they're going to react and how it affects them and stuff. I think it's the same thing with us. It's just, we don't have as many situations where your decision is going to affect both of us, right? Like what you decide where you live isn't like something that affects me. I'm like, you can move wherever the hell you want. I really, you know, no big deal there. But for Z, it, you moving makes a difference, right? And so you're probably going to have a conversation with me about, does this make sense? How do I broach this with her? Like, you know, pros and cons, those types of things. And then you're going to go to her and say, now I want to have this conversation because you've thought through it a little bit. I think that's fine. And I think that happens in any situation where you're talking to your spouse about one of your best friends or one of your friends, because, babe, am I tripping about this? Here's what happened, yada, yada, yada. And so when you think about the situations, it's just like I was saying about, you have more interactions with her. You have more instances where it involves her. And so you do have to watch what you say or think through what you're going to say before you go to her, because it affects her more. And so, yes, you end up talking to your friends about situations that involve her more often. But I think it's just that, is having friends to be able to talk about other friends and other situations before you go into that space with that person.
So, yeah, I agree with you to a certain extent, to the point where, yes, you're going to go back and forth and talk about different situations. But one of the things you brought up was, because me moving has nothing to do with you, because we're just friends, right? The things that I share with my spouse, there's a different type of relationship that directly, damn near everything I do affects them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it affects not just them. It can affect my kids. It can affect this whole life we built together. So we're talking about those conversations. If I go to Z and I'm telling about, let's say me and you have something, and I bring up something about you and I talk through it, I'm like, you know what? I don't even need to have that conversation. It's not serious enough, right? That's probably the reason me and you will never have that conversation. Similar situation where if I talk to you about Z, probably the reason we're not going to have that conversation, it's not that it's not serious enough, it's like, it's not worth it. Like, do you want to go through this conversation? Because let's take us off the table. How many times do your homeboys come to you talking about their spouse or their situation that they could never, ever share with their wife, or vice versa? Females, they can never, we have female friends, they can never share these conversations with their spouse. And these are serious matters that, you know, and I'm not just saying us. I think I part of the reason I wanted to start this show is I respect you guys as husbands, fathers, the way you maneuver as men. So I'm talking about in general, but even as much as I love my wife, there's certain things like, you know what? I'm not going to have that conversation with her because it's not worth it. I don't, you know, it's not a lot of things, but there's no good way this is going to end, right?
So I guess I would need an example of that. I mean, because there are things that I would prefer to discuss with one of my own boys, my friends, versus her. But when you stress the never, ever part, like...
I'm not attracted to my wife. She's gotten fat and I don't want to fuck her anymore.
You probably need to have that conversation with her and talk about divorce.
Yeah, and that's where that conversation goes, right? You're like, yeah, it, the thing about it is like, there's no good way for that conversation to end outside of...
Well, so that's not a healthy marriage. But in a healthy marriage, I can't think of an example of something that you would never ever... Like, I can think of things that you are hesitant or embarrassed to or wouldn't go to them first with. But if, like, they got word of it, like, you talked to Sherman about such and such, why didn't you come to me? Look, I ain't want to, but this... Like, I'm not saying there isn't. I would need an example of something that in a healthy marriage you would never, ever share with your spouse, but you would share with your boy. I guess other than what infidelity or something like that, but then that goes back to it's not a healthy marriage.
Yeah, but on top of that, I mean, I think even in your friend group, like, say you got four or five best friends, right? Like, hey, this is my friend group. This is my closest circle or whatever, but there are certain things that I'm going to talk to you, Ferg, and not talk to Byron or not talk to DeMarcus. I talk to DeMarcus about stuff that I don't talk to y'all about. Like, I think it's always situations where you're going to have person that I feel this is the best person to talk about this situation with, right? And you do that. And yes, I could come to you with that same situation and talk to you about it, but I prefer to talk to DeMarcus. Maybe because he's closer to it. It involves Birmingham. It makes sense, right? Like, I can get a better take on it from there. But when you talk, like, you got to define friendship, and they are in that circle of closest friends, right? Of I've got stuff I want to talk to them about, and yes, some stuff affects them, stuff doesn't. That type of thing. It's just, like I said, it happens more with them, which is why I'm like, they probably, if you think about what you put or how you define what your best friend is, your spouse probably takes that place as you get into it. Like, the conversations that you probably had with your best friend, you're probably more apt to, or you're going to start talking to your spouse about 40% of it, 50%, 60% of it, shifts over to your spouse. Agreed. And you're probably talking to them about that stuff instead of, you know, and not even the stuff that affects them, like just the random day-to-day crap that you used to talk to your best friend about, you probably are talking to your spouse about now.
I agree with that. So I say the difference in me is the consequences of that spouse or significant other relationship is what takes them out of a whole nother level. There's things you choose to talk to DeMarcus because he's closer to the issue than me, right?
Yeah.
Not because if you tell Ferg this, you might be sleeping on the couch. It's the consequences that, you to me, those are the things, you know, we already had that.
Yeah, I don't really sleep on the couch.
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's, to me, that's the difference. Is it's not that you like, I tell Zeke, me and Zeke have great one of the most beautiful things about our relationship is we've been together almost 15 years and we've never run out of things to talk about.
Yeah. I think it ultimately just comes down to you separate that spousal relationship from your friendship. Like, you define it differently there.
I think, once again, she's one of the great best friends, like, but it's still because there's this asterisk, like, because the ramifications or the things that can happen, there's a level of like, nah, you have to stay over here, you know. And I talk to her about, she knows more of my deepest, darkest secrets, insecurities, goals than anybody. Right? Like, I'm not saying that we don't talk about those things. It's still, you know, Byron, you were asking for examples. The looks, hey, you have, you know, her attitude is just, I can't deal with it anymore. Like, yes, in a healthy marriage, but most people are still dealing with this on a daily basis. 50% of marriages are ending in divorce because people can't have those conversations, because when I bring to you that your attitude or you're controlling, it's, guess what's going to happen? That attitude or controlling nature takes over and we can't have a real conversation. Now I'm backtracking on, damn, I should never even said this. You know, like, you're facing the consequences of this relationship or the decision, like, you know what? I want a healthy relationship. I'm going to tell my wife she's an asshole. You know, I'm going to tell my husband he doesn't satisfy me in bed. Like, whatever it is, you have that conversation and the bounce back is tough, and it usually doesn't bounce back. And there's not much that I can tell Rozzy or I could tell, you know, Action or you, that is going to be like, well, shit, there goes that relationship. You know, there's the end of Three Brothers. You know, it's, we get over, we move on. I think the consequences is the thing that changes and it puts it on a whole nother best friend with an asterisk. And that best friend with an asterisk makes them my.
Well, even in your example of like talking to them about their attitude, like you may not say nothing the first time, but eventually you will. And if you feel like you never can, then again, it's not a healthy marriage, because you should always be able to come to your spouse or what's bothering you. You should, the spouse is the one person you shouldn't have to keep stuff bottled in forever. So at some point you're going to talk to her about it.
And I'm not saying that, let's be honest. I feel like people have these conversations. They bring it up and we see the freaking, he can't handle a strong woman. Like all these, like you, it's, she is who she is. Like it, you, it's, you knew who I was before you married me. Like these are type,
those are usually
these
single are type women. Men.
Yeah, true. But what I will say though is I almost feel like the, what you say about the risk of losing them is like why you don't talk to them or why you wouldn't say something to them. I feel like that's part of what makes a best friend a best friend. Like it's, I wouldn't want to live my life without this person. Like Ferg, I wouldn't want to live my life without you. Buff, I wouldn't want to live my life without you. Like, that's the thing. It's like, as my best friend, as a part of my closest circle, my top five, whatever you want to call it, like, I wouldn't want to lose you guys. And so I am going to think about what I need to say, what I need to share. Like, if we have a friend that's an alcoholic, I might not say to them, dog, I think you're an alcoholic right now. It might be a conversation, a text thread between the other four of us to say, dog, I think such and such might have a drinking problem. We might need to intervene. We might need to talk. And so, like, you're going to have those instances where you got to go to the other friends to talk about that friend that is your best friend. Maybe it is your best friend and they got a problem, but you want to kind of run it by somebody else. I really feel like what you're saying about I tailor what I say and I watch what I say, it's because they are your best friend. They are that person, right? They are the most important thing in your life, outside of family, that, you know, you have. And so I really feel like it's that chosen family that makes them so important. And that's why I think they are that, they take that best friend mantle if you're in that healthy relationship. If they aren't that top best friend, if they aren't that number one friend, right, that you chose to be family, then you should be married to your best friend then. Like, you know what I'm saying? And you hear that sometimes, right? You hear that from women. Like, maybe you just should go marry, you know, James or whatever. Like, because the woman doesn't feel like she's the most important thing. She doesn't feel like she's the best friend.
And I think that's probably it. And I feel like, yeah, you're not going to marry James. Z is my person. And I said that. When we talk about, do you put your spouse over your kid? Z is my person, hands down. Right? It is. But there's, to me, there's still a small separation. She is my MJ, right? I don't want to think about basketball without MJ, right? But I still love seeing LeBron and KD and certain people play. Like, LeBron is probably my favorite player. MJ is my GOAT. That is, there's no such thing as basketball. Like, I wouldn't even probably have watched basketball without him. But LeBron might be my favorite player, right? And it's okay. Z is my MJ. I think it's still, and once again, we're talking about our relationships versus how many, that chick that's telling you to go marry James, how did you get to that conversation? Probably because you were telling her about some of the things that you didn't like, or whatever. And I was talking to James and we're, you know, because, you know, we're struggling. Well, maybe she'll go marry James then.
Yeah.
Damn, but no, this is the reason I didn't want to have this conversation.
But sometimes it's now, you're spending too much time with James. You talk to James, you never share with me. You're not treating me like a friend.
That.
Like, so taking,
I'm
like you say,
that.
Taking it out of our relationship and putting it on a more general term, we're talking about everybody here, right? And there are relationships out there where women don't feel like, they almost feel like a side chick to the best friend relationship.
Whose fault is that though? Is that his or hers? Or is it that he doesn't have that safe space either where he can go talk to her?
I mean, whatever it is, but I'm saying it's like she is feeling like she's not the best friend. If you're in a relationship and that significant other doesn't feel like you're their go-to, then it's that relationship isn't as healthy as it needs to be. That's what we're saying. It's like, if you're at the point in the healthiest of healthiest relationships, in the ideal state, your spouse should be, like you said, your person, right? Your number one, whether you call it your best friend, whatever, they should be that number one. And that's why I say, I think you're just kind of separating it and you're putting them and then the best friends, but where we're just saying, they're the number one, they're the best friend. And then all the other friends come behind them. Like that's the only difference I think in the relationship that or in the conversation right now that we're having is you're breaking it out where we're just saying, you know, the number one spot is the number one spot and that's the best friend spot.
So if they don't have that number one spot, then y'all might as well get a divorce.
That's not what I said. I said she can be one of the best friends. She don't have to be necessarily the best friend, but your wife. And I feel like every example you've given, Fergie, makes the case that she should be the best friend. But if your wife is not at least one of your best friends, I don't see how it's a successful marriage.
Yeah, and I agree. Like, that's what I said. One of, like, top friends, but there's, like, rises to, like, she should be your go-to. She should be your, like, and there's people's, like, you're not built that way. You're not built to handle the truth. I love you, but you're too sensitive. If I come to you and tell you this, you can have the best... Come to me, tell me, you know, and men too. Tell me this. And you're like, nigga, you can't handle this. If I told you this, then you would never recover. If you told her that, she may never recover. So it's kind of like, you know what? That's not a conversation I'm gonna have. You know, it might not be important enough, but you're still one of my, I can have nine, if there's 100 conversations, I can have 98 with them, 98 of them with you.
And when you hear best friend, like, so I don't think there's anyone that you can go to for everything. Like, even when Rosie was talking about you, me, DeMarcus, like, you're Rosio's best friend, but there are probably some things that he feel like he can go to, like he mentioned with DeMarcus, better than he can with you or with I. So just because she's your best friend, that doesn't mean you automatically go to her with everything. She's just like...
And I agree. And like I said, for me, the biggest thing is the reason I might go to you and not Rosie is you might be a little more knowledgeable. I might feel a little more comfortable, not because I'm worried about how Rosie is going to take it. That's my difference. Like, I'm not going to her because this might not end up well. Like, I'm pretty sure the conversations you have with DeMarcus, you're not going to me like, well, that's going to be an enemy for Eric's relationship. We ain't going to be friends no more after that. It's just like, DeMarcus know all these fools. You know, like, he's close to the situation. He's been there. He knows this and this. It's those, it's, for me, that's the reason, that's the biggest difference is because of that relationship I have with my wife, there are certain things that you like, this conversation might not end up well. Or not my wife. The people don't have certain conversations because the downfall of this conversation has greater effect. It's not just because your wife might be more knowledgeable or, you know, Rosie's more knowledgeable. It's the fact that if you're saying, man, Rosie, I've had, you know, I've talked to her about this 1,000 times, you know, she says she's going to change. We talk about it, but it's never going to change. Da, da, da. And you're still going back and forth. And then last time I brought it up, she snapped and she threatened to kick me out. Like, all these things, you know, it's at a certain point, it's just like, you just stop having that conversation, you know, because you know how she's going to react or he's going to react when you say certain things. I think we're giving relationships too much credit. Like, people can have conversations and things change. People have to seem like they have the same conversation over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had women talk about the conversation they've had with their husbands. I have homeboys that are divorced and it's like, nigga, you knew what you were doing. You knew the problem. You know, your wife said this 1,000 times. You told me this. You know, hell, I knew what you were doing. It's not nothing to do with infidelity. It's just other things. And it's like, you've had this conversation. You're not going to change. She felt she had another choice. And, you know, so, but we only got two questions in. This is our new thing.
I see.
It sounds like it. So, well, we did actually get some feedback from folks, right? They wanted us to not worry about time as much and get deeper into the conversations and finish them out and don't like cut them off so we can get a third question in. So we listeners, we heard you guys. We understand. And I do think it's a better show because of that. So, you know, let us know if you'd much rather us have the three questions versus like going in and having the deeper conversations. And we'll just, we do listen to you guys. So, are we ready to close, Bert? We done?
Yeah. So let's wrap it up. Ladies, gentlemen, for me, your spouse doesn't have to be your best friend. Cause I think it's this cliche thing we start hearing. They need to be, I agree with Byron. They should be one of your people, one of your closest. And it's in the best relationships. Ryzen calls them their top best friend. I'm gonna call them your person. In the best, or not best, the healthier relationships, that person is your person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but don't get mad because he or she can't talk to you about everything, because it might be they really just want to be. They don't want to sugarcoat. They don't want to have to think about how they deliver the message. I just want to say, bro, I'm broken. I don't know how much longer I can do this. I'm hurting, yada, 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 yada. And I just need to be that transparent. I don't need to think about this. And I need to talk to somebody. And it would be great to be able to talk to the source, but I can't, at least not right now. Because when I do have this conversation with you, because we have a healthy relationship, I have to have bounced this off of, you know, one or two people and sat down and thought about it before I bring this to you and hope for the best. My message is, don't get into the cliches, things that people say all the times, that this is supposed to be things, the way things are. Do what's best for your relationship. If it works, make it happen. If it doesn't, you know.
I don't think it's a cliche though. In order for a successful marriage, your spouse is going to be your friend. So marry somebody that will understand that you can't bring everything to them. And with an open ear when you do come to
them. Yep. Yeah.
Go ahead, Ross.
No, I was just agreeing. So go ahead.
I ain't have much at the beginning. I don't have much at the end. The Senate is currently working on immigration, but 45 has stuck his nose in it and has pretty much told Republicans don't agree to anything. He wants this to be a problem for Biden until he wins the presidency, and then that can be a victory for him when they do fix immigration. So apparently, on one hand, immigration is so dangerous, so important. We got all these people crossing the border illegally. We need to do something. But on the other hand, those same people are now going to essentially tell us, we can wait till after next January. So again, politics, baby. Politics. Yeah. That's all I got.
What about your boy DeSantis?
So DeSantis has dropped out since we last recorded. It feels like so long ago. But he's done. And to be honest, he never really started. He thought his fights with like Disney World and stuff like that were gonna, he felt like he could be 45 with more past legislation behind him, with better policy behind him. But in the end, people rejected that. They want 45. They don't want 45 light. They don't want an imitation of 45. They want 45. And so he's out, and it's down to, hell, by the time this show drops, I'll be surprised if Nikki Haley is still in it. But right now it's Nikki Haley and 45.
Yeah.
She pulled the gloves off, though.
Yeah.
Compared to everybody else.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Yeah.
You know,
and y'all saw Tim Scott, Senator Scott, he endorsed 45.
Of course. Not surprised. So talk about jumping on bandwagons, though. What I will say is Stanley Cup and this Stanley Cup craze that has started. I don't know if you guys know about it, but every woman in the world wants a Stanley Cup now. And along with kind of rebranding, Stanley Cup is also bringing it back, lead poisoning, because they have confirmed that they have lead in the Stanley Cups, and if it's damaged, then the lead can leak into your drink. So if you dented or something like that, be careful, ladies. You might need to go buy you another Stanley Cup because they do have lead in it. It is confirmed by them. So just be careful about jumping on these bandwagons, man, and all the new fad thing out there. You know, unless you're in the woods and you need your stuff to stay cold for 12, 15 hours straight, I mean, the El Cheapo mugs are going to do almost just as good. So just be careful about that. But wanted to get that news out there about Stanley. And that's it, man. That's all I had.
Is Stanley Cup the one that survived the car fire?
Yeah, it did. It did. But with that, we are 2 weeks away from Sneaker Ball, guys. And so Mardi Gras is upon us. We've talked about this and we're going to keep talking about this. Everybody make sure, it's sold out. So unless you can get a resale ticket, you won't be there and we won't see you. So if you've got your ticket already, we'll see you guys at the Sneaker Ball. But if not, then we'll be around all weekend. We're going to be on that float throwing all kind of moon pies and all kind of craziness. I saw some memes that said a moon pie box weighs the same amount as a brick, or it feels like it when it's thrown. So keep your head on the swivel because we got a whole lot of moon pie boxes to throw. And we're going to be throwing them. So I'm excited for it, man. Can't wait to see that. So, Buff, you want to throw something?
Rozzy has promised to show his chest on the float, ladies. So y'all be looking out for that.
I'm throwing Kanekos. let me not say that because people are expecting it. I can't afford to throw Kanekos. We're 2 weeks away from the Boom Boom. We're 2 weeks away from Sneaker Ball, the float. I'm so excited. Just real quick, want to congratulate my son for his first basketball game in a 3 to 5 year old league. He had his first game yesterday, Saturday. Thought he was going to be the first 4 year old to get a tech or get ejected because he was. He didn't play by the rules. I thought he was going to take out a little kid on a fast break earlier, and it was just hilarious. I had to call his name out really fast, and I called out just in time to take him away from I don't know what was about to happen. But he scored two baskets, so he was so excited. It was a thing of beauty to see him score his first basket. He was running around looking for a high five because he was. 2 for probably 20.
Oh, he is young Kobe.
He's 2 for 20. I mean, he was taking a ball from people. He took a ball from his own teammates. And in that league, you're not supposed to steal the ball. You're just supposed to put your hands up in a defense. But he was just, as soon as he saw somebody get the ball, he would run directly to him and just grab it. And just like, and the refs looking around like, because he was the only black kid on the team. No, we had one more little black girl, but she wasn't there at the time. But it was kind of like, this you? Yeah, it is what it is. But he had a blast, so it's fun. Oh, last but not least, my beef with school buses has continued and escalated. I got stopped Thursday or Friday by a school bus on a main street for anywhere between 5 to 7 minutes as the kids were unloading. And it's not the school bus. So it's a front of an apartment complex. And I'm assuming everybody on that bus was getting off there. But, you know, you're not paying attention. So you're stopped by the sign and you're just waiting on it to go back in. Right. You're just like, OK, it should be. We've been here for a minute. It should be going back in any minute now. So I look at the sign, still not moving. I look in the bus. You still see kids steadily standing up, walking to the back of the bus, walking back to the. I'm like, what the hell? So the light changed twice, bare minimum of twice while we were waiting on it. And so I don't know if I'm beefing with the bus or kids because it has confirmed. The fact that kids give zero F's about anybody else outside of them because the bus was sitting there and people just can, everybody knows they're getting off there, but yet and still, they just don't want to get up. They're still taking their time. It's not like they're getting stuff from the overhead luggage or anything like that. It was just, and I was cussing and a fussing. So screw you, yellow school buses. We beefing now. You got beef with Three Brothers, No Sense.
Oh, how we get in it?
Oh, bruh, you know, we were beefing. Who you had us beefing with, Rizzy? You had us beefing with somebody for real?
I don't know. Was it Boosie?
I don't know. Probably but we had us beefing with Boosie. Boosie and Buses. Byron, you got one more. You gotta start some beef, so.
I got you. I'll come over one.
All right.
Well, I'm beefing with the Raven ticket holders. I'm beefing with them.
Oh, that's right.
Now.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. There we go. Last but not least, shout out to the Ravens and even the Detroit Lions. I'm happy to see them there, but I am pulling for Lamar Jackson. They're playing the Kansas City Chiefs. So win-win, you know, having a black quarterback in the Super Bowl is always a good thing because there was this notion for the longest that black quarterbacks could not lead teams. That's a whole nother conversation. But with Lamar, it just seems different. He seemed like he one of us. He seemed like he went to school. He seemed like he rode the school bus with us, you know? You know, he was at the skating rink and teen jams with us. I feel like the Lamar Jackson is one of us, and Bert, it might just be
Bert
me.
Got Lamar out there, some Umbro shorts.
I'm just saying, I feel like in a white tee, you know. I feel like Lamar Jackson is one of us, you know. So it's good to see one of us do it, you know. With that being said, Three Brothers No Sense, your favorite barbershop style podcast, Six Rules of Podcast. Listen, like, share, subscribe, comment, and most importantly, listen again. Talk to you next week.